interesting thing about what we learned lately. At 10 to 8 in the morning, there's a summary of the Dafyomi. So he said about the, I didn't think it was a Mishnah, I think it is, you just heard it quoted, about the Mishnah of having the six kavanot.
Right.
The Sheikh Mashal. It's kasher.
Right, except
they,
for the first two.
He gave like a list, Arizal, and three or four other Gedolim that said it's a really big school to say it. And it was
say when at the time of the bringing of the Korban?
No. Say over this Mishnah.
Oh, just to say over the Mishnah.
That Mishnah particularly, and there was some famous Gadol, excuse me, I don't remember everybody's name, but before he passed away he said it, and he said you should say it, everything said your Katamazon, and something else.
That's interesting.
And I'm like, it's a great skula for everything, so, I mean, if you're going to learn the Mishnah Baal Peh, out of what we're learning.
Right, that's a good choice.
Okay.
So, Moshe, if you have Tezainam and Aleph, we're counting up from the bottom of the Amud, approximately 10 lines, and the last word in the line is Onen. And keep in mind that the Mishnah here in the second Perek of Zvachim says that an Onen who does an Avodah, for example, Kabbalah Saddam, passes the Korban. And the Gemara says, "Dichsiv." This is based on a pasuk. Now, this pasuk appears in the parish of Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol lost Nebuch, one of his close relatives, either his father or his mother. He's not allowed to be metame. That's a special din of a Kohen Gadol. The Nazir also has the same din. And the pasuk says, "Umin amigdash lo yetze velo yechalel es migdash alokav." That if he doesn't go out of the migdash, meaning if he continues to do an avodah, then he'll be machal the avoda. And this is a case of an onen, meaning a person who lost one of his zayin krovim, or there is seven close relatives. And it says here, v'lo yechalel. Now, if you fast forward for a moment to Tezayin Amud Beis, the Gemara offers another possible source for this halacha. Let's just see if I can find it. Just 1 second. Yeah. This is the Bei Rabbi Yishmael. So this is back on Tezayin Amud Aleph. I accept my apologies for that. And it's the last line on Tezayin Amud Aleph. The Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. So we have a brisa from Rabbi Yishmael. How do we know that an onen is mechalal his avodah? His avodah is completely invalid. Asya b'kalvachomer mibal mum. We're going to derive this with a kalvachomer from the case of bal mum. And here we turn to daf tezayin amin beis. Ma bal mum sha'ochel. The case of bal mum, he's allowed to at least eat kodshim, even kodshi kodshim. In other words, the Torah says that a bal mum is not allowed to do an avodah, but yet he's allowed to eat kodshim. And that's an explicit pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Aleph. It says, "Umina kodshim yochal." But nevertheless, in Avad Chilel, the Torah says, in that same parak, "Ach, el aparochas lo yovav al mizbeach lo yigash ki mumbo velo yichalel es mikdashi." That means if he goes to do the avodah, he's machal his avodah, is onen. She'ein ochel, meaning he's not allowed to eat kodshim, and this is derived from a parash at the end of the Torah, Dvarim Chavav, it says, lo'achalti bi'oni mimeni. Now technically that pasuk appears in the parash of Maaser Sheni, but we assume that if an onen is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, which has a lower kedusha than kodshim, then kodshim is bad, certainly he's not allowed to eat kodshim. Is Enodin Shem Avad Chilel? How much more so? He's Mechal as Avoda. No, the relationship between a Balmum and Kodshim and an Onen and Kodshim is that relative to an Onen, a Balmum is lightweight, so to speak, because a Balmum is allowed to eat Kodshim, an Onen is enjoyed from eating Kodshim. And yet we know, and the Torah tells us explicitly, that in the case of Balmum, if he does the Avoda, he's Mechal his Avoda. So how much more so in the case of an onen who's relative to a balmum, a more heavyweight, relationship, antithetical relationship to Kodshim, how much more so that he should invalidate his avoda. The Gemara is not excited about this Kal Vachomer, and the Gemara presents a what we call a Pirchatus Kal Vachomer, Mal Balmum Shekein Asabo Kravim Kimakrivim. In the case of Balmum, who's Machal his avoda, the Torah says that Mum passels not only the Makrivim, meaning the Kohen, but Mum is so antithetical to Kodshim that it applies even to the Kravim, even to the Behema itself that's meant to be brought on the Mizbeach as a Karban. So the halach of Mum and its exclusion, its antithetical relationship to Kodshim and to the Mizbeach is much more powerful than that of an Onin. So there's a, although it's true that a Balmum in the case of a Kohen is a little bit lightweight relative to Onen because he's allowed to eat Kodshim, but on the other hand he has a heavyweight with regard to the concept in general of Mum, which means that in Mum, Mum is so antithetical to Mizbeach that even if the Behema has a Mum and you makriv the Behema, that passes the Hakrova. So Mum has to be excluded, and therefore it doesn't surprise us if the Kohen Bal Mum is Machal his Avoda. How do we know therefore that an Onen is Machal his Avoda? And now the Gemara is going to make a valiant effort to save this limud of Debei Rabbi Yishmael with what's called a Tzara Shover. The Gemara says Zar Yochiach. The Zar is only a psul in Kohen. There's no psul, there's no parallel mirror image in the Behema and the Karev, in the Kraven. There's no such thing as a Behema that's considered a Zar. And yet a Zar who does the Avoda, he's Machal his Avoda. And in the case of Zar, he's allowed to eat Kodshim, but he's just not allowed to do the Avoda. So in that sense, Zar is a very good source for Onen. So the Gemara says, no, Mal Zar Shekein Ein Lo Takona. The case of Zar is an irreversible, it's not a temporary kind of psul, but it's an absolute eternal psul. But in the case of Onen, that's just a temporary psul, so that's lightweight. And therefore, who says that his exclusion from the Avodah Sakoen would passel the Karb, would be Machal the Kodshim? Now we go back to Balmum Yochiach. Why? Because Balmum is also a temporary kind of psul. We have what's called a mum over, which is a blemish that ultimately will be healed. V'chazar adin lo roi zeker roi zev lo roi zeker roi zev. We join forces between Balmum and Zar, we'll be able to derive what we call a tzadah shoveh, and Onen will be machal zavoda. Tzadah shoveh should have what's common to both Balmum and Zar, Shem Muzharim, they are enjoined from doing the Avoda, Vim Avdu Chilulu. And to the Eved, if they went and did the Avoda is Mechuleles, it's completely invalid. Afani Ovi Onen, Onen also has Muzar, the Azhar, the warning that he should not do the Avoda, Vim Avad Chilel. And if he went and he did the Avoda, he's Mechal as Avoda. Ah, you'll tell me, how can you derive any conclusions from Balmum? After all, a Balmum is more chomer that applies not only to the Makriv but also to the Karev, and I'll prove it to you from Zar, where it only applies to the Makriv and not to the Karev, whereas Balmum applies to both. And if you'll tell me, well, I can't derive from Zar because Zar is Einlo, Zar is Einlo Takana, whereas Onen is Yeshlo Takana, I'll prove it to you from Balmum. So when I join forces together, then I could derive it in its Tzadah Shoveh. Okay? So this is the piece of Gemara that I wanted to see with you. The Gemara goes on to derive the Azhara. Where is, you know, the Gemara never even questioned so far, where's the Azhara that enjoins an Onen from doing the Avoda? And the Gemara now is going to embark upon an investigation to try to come up with the Azhara. What I'd like to do with you now is a presentation here, the Rosh Hashiva in Nefesh Tova. And that is number Chaf Beis. So you'll find it inside, yeah? Mm-hmm. We have it?
Yes.
Great. So he says the following. What's the relationship between an Onen and Kodshim? He says it expresses itself in three different dimensions. Number one, there are isurim that apply to an onen, right? He's enjoined from eating kachim. That's what we said before, was the contrast between a balmum and an onen, that an onen is more chamur in comparison to a balmum, because the balmum is allowed to eat kachim. The Torah says that explicitly. The onen is enjoined from eating kachim. So that's number one. And not only that, he says, if you take a look at his language, he says, Iser avoda ba'aninus. So the one I mentioned to you before is actually the third on his list. I was going to put that first on my list, because logically I thought it comes first on my list. That's Asur Machilas Kodshim. Then we have number two, Asur Ba'avodas Korbanos, right? An onen is enjoined from doing the avoda. And number three, Eino Mishaleach Korbanosov, which means that an onen cannot, even though he's not personally involved in the avoda, but he owns a carbon, can he send it to the Beis HaMikdash and allow the kohanim to bring the carbon on his behalf? And that's another din in onen, which Mirz Hashem will talk about, that an onen can't even send his carbon. And the Rashiva wants to know the following. How do we understand, is there something that underlies all these three dinim? Yesh lachar b'yesod yisurim eli ihavu midinei niyug haninus. All these dinim reflect the mitzvah, so to speak, that's incumbent upon an onen. Because again, rabosai haninus is the first stage in what?
Avelut,
right. So in a sense, what we're having here is a certain measure of avelut that removes the onen at this stage from kodshim, from the mizbeach, from whether it be doing the avoda, whether it be sending a karban to the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be eating kodshim. All these isurim really are reflections of what he calls dinei nihug haninus, the laws that apply to how an onen is allowed, is required to, in Yiddish we say firtzach. Firtzach in English, I guess, would be the way he behaves. You know, it's his behavior pattern. Or maybe no. Maybe these dinim are not related to the niyug avelus, meaning the requirement of the onen to behave and observe his aninus, but rather the hilchus kachim. In other words, kachim cannot tolerate an onen. There's something about kachim that has a very low tolerance level for aninus.
I thought that aninus is a kind of a osek b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah, that since in those days he had to take care of the mate himself, he didn't have a chaver kedisha.
So I would say the following. There's definitely osek b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah in the case of aninus, but we're talking about a flip side.
Okay.
Not the osek b'mitzvah aspect of an onen,
right,
his responsibility to bury the dead, yeah, but rather the isurim that apply to an onen. So there are two, you know, aninus is really a prime example, and I give Derech HaLimud Shirim here, it's a prime example of what we call Tzvei Din in two dimensions. There are two dimensions to aninus. One is a positive dimension, meaning his obligation to bury the dead, and all the repercussions thereof are called Otzek mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah. So that's where he's potum in a mitzvah. He doesn't recite Kriyat Shema. He's not chayv in brachas and all the mitzvahs. But the flip side is the iser aninus. That has nothing to do with otzek mitzvah, potum in a mitzvah. Meaning an onen, even if let's say, you know, he sends the mess for burial to a chaver kadisha and he wipes his hands, so to speak, he's not now involved in burying the dead, and there would be no osek b'mitzvah. But nevertheless, insofar as the mess is not buried yet, he still has the personal status of an onen, and in that context, he's not allowed to eat kodshim, he's not allowed to work in the mizbeach, he can't even send his karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the first tzad in the Rosh Shiva's Chakir. He calls it dinei niyug haninus. And the second side, oh, by the way, I'll give you another example. Here's the classical example of Dinei Niyug Haninus, because Bizman HaZeh, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so what would be Dinei Niyug HaVelus? He's enjoined from eating meat and drinking wine. And those two Isurim terminate immediately with Kvura, as soon as the mess is buried. So if you ever saw an Avel, that means after Kvura, drinking wine, don't get shocked about that. In fact, the Temanim have, if you've ever seen it, they have a whole minig that they bring during the whole Shivas Yomim of Aveilus. They bring every day, I think it's an increasing number of small cups of wine for the Yonim to drink. And not only that, it could be that some have the minig that the first Seuda, which is called the Seudas Havra, that we feed the Yonim, has to be a fleishik meal. I'm not saying halacha l'maisa, but there is such a minig. So the idea that an onen can't eat meat or drink wine, that's pure niluganinus. It could be, by the way, this is really complicated, that an onen should be enjoined from all these surim of an avel, but because he's obligated in kavuras ames, we're not going to impose those isurim on. So for example,
he has to kind of go to work.
In other words, he should be wearing sneakers and not shoes, but we're going to allow him to wear shoes so that he can bury the mess, if you follow what I mean. But be that as it may, we definitely have a chunk of aninus, I would say even rov dini aninus, are called nihuge aninus. And can we place in that category of nihuge aninus these three surim that we're talking about in kodshim? The other side is to say no, has nothing to do with his personal obligation, it has to do with kodshim. That kodshim find aninus completely repulsive, so to speak. You know, there's an anti-gravitational force between kodshim and aninus. And the reason for that is because, in a philosophical sense, not that we're learning philosophy here, but I just want to point out that a kodshim is all about lifnei Hashem, and an onen is all about richuk me Hashem. And we all experience this one day a year. What day a year do I have in mind?
Tisha B'Av.
And we're all, you know, experiencing richuk from Hashem. That's why we take off the parochas, and that's why we sit on the ground and we close the lights, and basically we don't put on tefillin for half a day. All that is because of the richuk. And that's really called avelus. Avelus in its very essence is richuk meis Hashem. It's what we call... We call Hashem Binistar, you know, Hester Ponim, if you've ever heard the term. And that's why in Eicha it says, Sosam Tfilosi, is a pasuk in Eicha. That Hashem, so to speak, closes the gates, the iron gates for Tfila. You know, that's what Avelus is all about. Keli Keli Lama Zavtani. But in the second side, in the Rosh Yeshivas Chakira, it's not a din in Niyug Avelus. This has nothing to do with the obligation that's incumbent on the onen. It's a din in Kodshim. Kodshim is lifnei Hashem. He can't tolerate an onen.
Is Avelus also a good testament? If the whole thing is kind of a repulsion between Mikdash and...
So why shouldn't it extend into the Avelus as well?
But if someone in Shiva can't come to the Beit Mikdash either, can they?
Well, as far as I know, he could come into the Beis HaMikdash. He might be, in a sense, he might have a problem with his mitzvah avelus. But on a deraisa level, this is the din of onen. All the dinim of avelus are only derabbanan. Well, those who say that Avelus is Doraisa, they're really talking about Aninus, or at least Yom Rishon. I mean, again, complicated laws here, you know, we can't do that in one scene. So let's see if the Rashi has a proof one way or the other. And he says the following. He says, I have a proof that at least as far as the Isra Avoda that applies to a Kohen who's an Onen, this is Midine Kodshin. This is nothing to do with Niyug Aninus. And how does he know this? Because Avodas Onen Psulahi. The Gemara establishes, based on various limudim, different alternative derivations, that the Avoda of an Onen is Pasul. And why? Because he has the same status as a Balmum or a Zar or a Kohen Tomei. And that's what the Beit Rabbi Yishmol, as we saw, derives Onen as far as Chilul Avoda with the Kal V'Chomer from Balmum. The Gemara offers another Kal V'Chomer, we didn't get to that yet, Rav Masharshia from Yoshev. And if you're telling me that we could derive the Isra Avodas Onen with a Kal V'Chomer from the Psulim, then it must mean that the Psul of Onen is a Psul Avoda, and that's how Lochan Hilchas Kodshin. Because if it was a din in aninus, how would you be able to make this analogy between an onen and his din in aninus and the case of a balmum or any other apostle? Oh. Not only that, he says the very fact that an one is machal has avoda, why would his iser as an onen, just like he's not allowed to drink wine, so he's not allowed to do the avoda, why would that possibly avoda? Okay, so he violated his iser. What would you say about a person who took a neder, a kohen took a neder, I won't do any avoda, shvuah, I won't do any avoda. And he went ahead and he violated his shvuah. So that would possibly avoda? That's not a din in kodshim, that's his personal problem. So if the halacha of onen osur lavod b'migdash is midini aninus, it's his violation, that would not impact on the status of the karman. The very fact that it impacts on the status of the karman means that we start with kodshim. And the law is that kodshim cannot tolerate an onen. So let's read it inside. He says, mihada onen mechalas avoda, nireh, de iser avoda shalohavi mehilchus kodshim, ulekachim avad chilel, b'dievet his avoda is mechulelis, dihavi midinei aninus. In other words, that it's usher for an onen to do the avoda minus chalua kodshim b'kach. So, okay, give him patch, you know, give him a punishment for violating the dinei aninus, but that doesn't pass the karmon. So again, Rabbi Moshe, just getting back to the Rashiva's chakir, you have here onen. Let's say at one end of a we'll call it a pole, you know, a horizontal, yeah, spectrum, and on the other end you have kodshim. Where do we start with? In other words, what we want to end up with, that I can tell you, is that an onen is excluded from kodshim. But how does that go? Where does the arrow begin and where does it end? Does it begin with the onen, and it's a din of aninus, and it ends in kodshim? There are many dinim of aninus, one of which is prohibition from kodshim. Or are we saying, no, it starts with kodshim, and the arrow goes the opposite direction, that kodshim doesn't tolerate an onen. And the Rashid is claiming that the very fact that an onen's avoda is mechuleles, that proves that you're starting with kodshim. If you're starting with aninus, who says, and what logic would there be to conclude that the fact that the onen violated and did not live up to the standards, the demands of his aninus, therefore the kodshim should be possible? We never heard such a thing, and certainly you can't derive that from Balmur. He says, I have a further proof. Midivrei Rav Hach Diolif Mitomei Bekal Vachomer. Rava suggests a different lever, again we should have gone maybe through the entire sugya, but I just wanted to get to this essay. Rava derives the psul of onen from tameh, and the Gemara talks about the fact that an onen should not be posel in a carbon tzibur, right? Because tameh, in a case of a carbon tzibur, we have a principle called tumah hutra b'tzibur. So in any event, Rava starts with the analogy between a kohen tamei and a kohen onen. He says, in the case of tamei, if you're maintaining that analogy, vaday iser avodosu midini kodshim, ubriyolot minei diaf onen ein impossible karbon tzibur mukach diaf iser avodah baninus hu milchus dinei kodshim. He says that tamei is not an iser. When a person contracts tumah, there are no new isurim that apply to him, but rather the din is that his avoda is an avoda psula. That's a din in kodshim. Again, the mizbeach doesn't tolerate tumah. And from the fact that Rava establishes this comparison between tamei and onen to such an extent that just like tamei's in his avoda in a carbon tzibur b'dieved, the avoda is kshera, so too an onen in a case of a carbon tzibur b'dieved, the carbon is kosher. You see from this equation that just like tameh is a psul in hilchus kodshim, so too onen is a psul in hilchus kodshim. But now we have a sugya in moed kot, and this sugya in moed katan would seem to perhaps point in a different direction. Because if you would end here before the sugya in Moed Katan, you sort of, it's an open and shut case. But that's not exciting for us. We like complications. We don't like simplicities. Mitzora Maushi Yino Tzoroso Beregel. There's a mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha, and yet it's a mitzora has the law of avelus, which means that all the surei avel apply to a mitzora. So pirish Rashi shelo yavo el toch hamachne v'lo yigaleach. In other words, normally we would allow a mitzora at some point to come into the machne, and we would perhaps alleviate his prohibition of giluach. And why is that? Hine ha vale pshite tumas tzaras no heges af beregel de mechi tesis regel eno tome v'amai mesafka amnon mesafka l'ashasim shar dini mitzora de domu la velus kigon isa tiglachas uprio primo prisha noagim af beregel o de simchas regel docha oson. And the Gemara wants to suggest that perhaps those dimensions of Avelus, those Isurim, should apply even during the Regel, which means that although the Regel is a mitzvah seh, it doesn't have the power to trump a los aseh. So for example, you can't shave if you're a mitzora, but maybe we should allow, for the sake of Simchas Yontif, allow him to shave or take a haircut. The answer is no in this tzad. Why? Because the essay of a Samachta B'chagecha does not have the power to override a los aseh. Or no, or should we say this is the other side of the Gemara Sofik, that maybe Simchas HaRegel trumps the Isurei Avelus of a Mitzora. Upashit Le Rava Hasam. Rava comes to the conclusion, this is the next paragraph, Toshma VeHatzarua LeRabos Kohen Gadol. Rava comes up with the following comparison, that a mitzora and the dinim of mitzvah apply even to a kohen gadol. Now the Gemara substitutes regel for kohen gadol, or kohen gadol for regel. Those two concepts are absolutely interchangeable when it comes to dinei avelus, because a kohen gadol has the status of regel the whole year round. He's always in yontif, because he's always lifnei Hashem. Regel means lifnei Hashem v'samachtem lifnei Hashem el keichem. And in the case of a kohen gadol, he's always v'samachtem lifnei Hashem el keichem, wherever he is. And yet, in the case of a kohen gadol who was a mitzora, he has to comply and implement all the isurei avelus of a mitzora, even though this kohen gadol has the status of regel. So we're not going to say that the simcha that's incumbent upon the kohen gadol trumps the isur aninus. And therefore, we see from this case of kohen gadol that a mitzora on regel has the same isurei avelus that he had before, and regel does not have the power to trump the isurei aninus of a mitzora. So that's what we have in Masechta Moed Katan. The hashta now, this is the Rashiva speaking. Yesh la hakshos e name of the isurei avodas kohen hedja ba aninus humi dinei kodshim. According to everything that we've said until now, our conclusion, our premise is that the Isur Avodas HaKohen in Aninus starts and is anchored in Kodshim. That's where it begins, but not from Dinei Niyug of Aninus. In Kain, Heich Muchach Mihod HaKohen Gadol Makriv BaAninus Dechol HaShonik Regalu Etzlo. So the Kohen Gadol can be Makriv BaAninus. Right, that's what we have here in the middle of Rava's presentation. He says this nan kohen gadol makriv onen. He's allowed to be makriv as an onen, even though he has a status of regel. And Rava wants to prove, therefore, that regel, although it doesn't override tzaras, but it does override onen. Shmamino noeg tzaraso beregel. The Rashiva asks, "Heich muchach mihod the kohen gadol makriv ba aninus the chol hashana karegelu etzlo va'isar akrova." In the case of aninus of a kohen hedjer, midine kodshim, v'lo midine hilchas aninus. The kohen gadol shari lahakriv onen mishum shelo nemar bo din zeh. So a kohen gadol could be makriv and onen. He doesn't have the same din as a kohen hedjer, who's not allowed to be makriv as an onen. The ainze mishum shahutrul odini aninus, el mishum shlo nesra krova, me hilchas niug aninus, el milchas kachin, velo nemar isur zebekoin golo klau, ulachor mavur me hosom, de isur havod baninus, who me hilchas niug aninus. Olachain, muchachinon, me the hutal coin got a lavo by Ninus, mash with the call of Shotika regulates low. The Eno noe got Ninus. We the Hazin and the Afal Piche noge bodini mitzora, muchach the mitzora noe tsaras of a regal. So the Gemara wants to prove that coin godol has the status of regal the whole year round. And how do we know this? From the fact that he's makriv as an onen. And then Rava makes the next step, he makes the next jump, that if Kohen Gadol is indeed a regel kol hashana kula, and yet, as far as Mitzor is concerned, L'Rabos we have a ribuy of Kohen Gadol, that a Kohen Gadol, even though he's a Kohen Gadol, if he's a Mitzor, he's excluded from the Avodah. So we see that even a Mitzor on regel, because Kohen Gadol is like regel, is noeg Tzarato Beregel. So again, how do we establish, how does Rava prove that the status of a Kohen Gadol the whole year round is equivalent to that of Regel? From the fact that he's Makriv an Onen. Now wait a second, why is a Kohen Gadol Makriv an Onen? He says the following, that if you're going to, now we're going to analyze it from the light, in the light, in the perspective of his chakir, is it midini kodesh or midini aninus? He says the following. Ein ze mipnei shahutra lo dine aninus, ela mishum, delo shalo nesra akrova, mihilchas niug aninus, ela mihilchas kodeshim. Now, as far as niug aninus is concerned, if I understand correctly, he's saying there's no difference between a Kohen Gadol and anyone else. But as far as Kachim is concerned, here's where the halacha changes. Okay, fine. Ulachora, from this, from the fact that the Hakrova changes, that in Hilchas Kachim there was no Iser of Avoda on a Kohen Gadol who's an Onin, only on a Kohen Hejot. Is the Isra avodah by Aninus who mihilchas niug Aninus, and midahuta lekohen gadol lavod by Aninus mash b'dechol hashana kiregel etzlo v'eino noig Aninus u'michazin the afal pichei noig omedini mitzor muchak to mitzor noig tzarato beregel. So I think I understand here, but there's one line here that confuses my mind. He says, I'm going to go back over one line. If I can solve that one line, then I have it. He says, "Im kein hech muchach mehad the coin gadol makriv by Aninus the chonish akrigal etzlo." How does Rava prove? How does he establish that the status of a coin gadol the whole year round is that of a regal status from the fact that he's makriv by Aninus? V'isur akrova. We just finished saying that the isur akrova by Aninus is mi dine kodshim v'lo mihilchas Aninus. Which would mean that Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makriv and onen because in Hilchas Aninus he doesn't have that din. The ancient nature hutrul o dine aninus el mishum delo nesra krova mi hilchas niug aninus el mi hilchas kachin. So that's the line that confuses me. Velo nemar isu ze. The Kohen Gadol klal. In other words, if right now the Rashiv is presenting, if I understand correctly, the following thesis, but I think he's about to change his mind, that if it were, would it be that the source and the root of the Isra HaKrov Baninus is Aninus, Dine Aninus, then there should be no difference between a Kohen Hejot and a Kohen Gadol. The fact that there is such a difference must prove that the Iser of Hakrova is an Iser in Kodshim. It's in Hilchas Kodshim. And with regard to Hilchas Kodshim, Lo Nemar Iser Zeb a Kohen Gadol. So the Iser of Kodshim was not said in the case of a Kohen Gadol, only in the case of a Kohen Hejet. That's what I got up to the word ulachora. So at this point, if I stop here and press the return button, the paragraph ends with a support text to what the Rashiv has been saying all along, that the Isur of Hakrova Ba'onein is a Kodshim Isur. And that Isur doesn't apply to a Kohen Gadol. And again, if you go up a little bit earlier, we can underline the words, V'einzem ipnei shehutru lo dini aninus. Now, it's not that we're lightening the burden of dini aninus and the Isur aninus with regard to a Kohen Gadol, but rather it was an Isur Hakrova Ba'onein, which is not a din in Niuganinus, but rather in Hilchus Kodshim, and that Isur HaKrova Baninus was never formulated, never established with regard to a Kohen Gadol. That's what he says up until this point, which would mean that he's supporting his original thesis. But now he changes the tune. That's where I get a little perplexed. He says, U'achora mevuar hasam the Isur HaVoda Baninus who Hilchus Niug Aninus. Do you see where he's now picking up the other side? That the Isur HaVoda Baninus is rooted in Dinei Niug Aninus. V'lachein Muchachim, we can prove Midahut Alekoin Gadol LaVod Baninus. And what's the basis for the Matir? It's going to be Kol Hashana Karegel Etzlo, and therefore Eini Noeg Aninus, and yet I see. I would have written this a little differently, but in any event, I think I understand it. So if you don't mind, Rabbos, I'm going to try to present to you this very heavy paragraph that starts with the words Upashitle in my own understanding. Be'eravon Mugbal, as they say, with limited liability. Okay, this is what I think he's saying. Our goal is to prove the following conclusion, that the status of a Kohen Gadol is that of Regel. And as if to say, the mitzvah of the Samachta applies to a Kohen Gadol the whole year round. In Yiddish we say, Agantz Yor Freilich. Are you familiar with that phrase?
Yeah. Complete happiness, total happiness.
Yeah, Agantz Yor. You know, some people say in Purim we have to be the Simcha. Yeah. But on Purim we sing a different song. We say Agantz Yor Freilich. That Purim should be the Simcha the whole year. So the Kohen Gadol is Purim Dik the whole year round. He has an obligation to be the Simcha the whole year round. That conclusion we can only arrive at if we see that the Torah, for the sake of the mitzvah of Simcha, would permit the Kohen Gadol to do that which otherwise would be a violation of the Isur Aninus. And what would trump the Isur Aninus in the case of a Kohen Gadol would be his status as Simcha, the mitzvah of Simcha that, so to speak, applies to a Kohen Gadol the whole year round. And that mitzvah of Simcha is going to undermine and trump the Isur Aninus. So that's where we have to get to. Once we get to that conclusion, then things move smoothly. Why? Because then I could prove from the fact that a Kohen Gadol, if he's a Metzora, he's enjoined from the Avodah. Then I could prove that a Metzora Hejot on Regel would still have to observe his laws of Tzoras, which means Avelus. That the mitzvah of Simcha does not override the din of Avelus in the case of Mitzorah. Because Kohen Gadol would be the exact case of Simcha versus Avelus. And we find that the Kohen Gadol as an Onin is allowed to do the Avodah, which means that his mitzvah of Simcha, the Gansiyar, overrides his Isur Aninus. But it doesn't override his Isur Tzoras, the Avelus element in Mitzorah. So the Rosh Yeshiva, what he does in the first part of this paragraph is he presents the following thesis. And he says that you could have argued that the law of Kohen Gadol the whole year round is not because, it has nothing to do with his status as Regel and his Chovas Simcha, but rather it's his status as the Kohen Gadol. And the Isra Ninus in a Kohen Hedjot is because of Kodshim. And if it's because of Kodshim, that Isra Kodshim was only formulated with regard to a Kohen Hedjot, who's an Onin, but not with regard to a Kohen Gadol, who's an Onin.
So the Kohen Gadol is, we're being more machmir or mekel with Kohen Gadol?
We're being mekel and dini kodshim, and we're not going to create and formulate an Iser Onen of Avodas Onen in the case of a Kohen Gadol.
Well, what's the source for making the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot? Why do we make that distinction? I mean, I hear where he's going. I'm just wondering the basis or the makor for doing that.
So the truth is, I don't think he addresses your question. He may have an answer to your question, which he's hiding, you know, which or elsewhere he talks about it. But apparently, the need, so to speak, again in inverted commas, the need for the Kohen Gadol in terms of Kodshim is a greater need than that of a Kohen Hedjot. I wonder if I can prove that to you. Here, I'll prove it to you. A Kohen Hedjot is only allowed to do avoda if he's licensed to do so. How does he get his license? He wins a lottery. That's called a pious. A Kohen Gadol could, not only does he not have to win the pious for any avoda the whole year round, he can even bump a Kohen Hedjot who won the pious, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I'd have to prove to this you in song, but that's what I seem to recall. In other words, the need for the Kodesh, the Beis Hamikdash, the Mizbech is screaming out for the Kohen Gadol. You know, it's a special status or special avoda, special need for the Kodeshim to be implemented by the Kohen Gadol. In fact, there's one day of the year where only the Kohen Gadol could do the avoda. No one else, and that's Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is not an exception to the rule. Yom Kippur is really the rule itself. The whole year round, really, the Kohen Gadol should be doing all the avoda, because he's the man of the avoda. But we don't want to bump off the other Kohenim, so the rest of the year we'll have a pious and we'll say, okay, you won the lottery, we'll give you a chance. You know, you'll do the Dishon HaMenorah, the Dishon HaMizbeach, we'll let you do. Of course, you have to do the Dishon HaMenorah first because of Ein Over and Al Mitzvah, but that's
the... Doesn't the Kohen Gadol normally do the Korbanot Zibur?
I don't know. Can you look that up for me, Shmuel? In other words, again, you know, I'm building my ideas, my knowledge bank here in Kodeshim very slowly. So it's not in the bank, but that doesn't mean it's not right. I haven't gotten to that point. But again, I think it's fair to assume that the Kodeshim might lower, you know, put its dukes down when it comes to the Kohen Gadol. The Kodeshim are going to fight a Kohen Hedjot, but, you know, luz up it, leave it alone when it comes to Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is a big man. Gadol,
so that's why we need to be more make over him, so he's more available for the...
Correct. So let's say the two Kohenim, one is the Kohen Hedjot, the other is the Kohen Gadol, they're both owning him. We may lower our standards because of the need that we have in Kodshim to get the Kohen Gadol into the avoda and let him do the avoda, even though he's an owning.
Right, I can see that.
Okay.
That need to be make over.
Okay. Right. Says the Rosh Hashiva, that's wrong. Why is that wrong? Because it'll completely undermine the sugya of Rava in Masechta Moed Kot. Why? Because Rava is going to use a Kohen Gadol Mitzora as the paradigm for a Kohen Hedjot Mitzora the whole year round. Let me go over that again. I'm sorry. As the paradigm, correct? I stand correct. As the paradigm for a Kohen Hedjot Mitzora on Yontif. Why? Because a Kohen Gadol is Yontif the whole year round. Now, how do we know that a Kohen Gadol who's a Mitzora is excluded from the avoda? So Rava says, because we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that Vehatzarua, who's excluded from V'avoda, in the case of a Kohen Hedjot. But there's an extra word in the Pasuk V'hatzarua, L'rabos Kohen Gadol, that not only is a rank and file Kohen who's a Metzora excluded from the Avoda, even a Kohen Gadol is excluded from the Avoda. If he's a Metzora. Well, says Rava, there's one piece missing here in this puzzle, that the Kohen Gadol has a din of regel the whole year round. And if so, we can now prove that a Metzora, even on the regel, is enjoined from the Avoda. Says Rava, how do I know the Kohen Gadol has a din of regel? And Afal Pichain, if he's a Metzora, is excluded, we saw. Because the Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol is makriv as an onen. And Rava says, why is he makriv as an onen? A Kohen Hedjot's not allowed to be makriv as an onen. The answer must be because of his status as a Kohen Gadol. No, that means it's a din and kodshim. If it's a din and kodshim, that because of his status as a Kohen Gadol, we're going to allow him to do the avodas kodshim, even though he's an onen. Says the Rosh Hashiva, if that's correct, then Rava's whole, you know, his whole pyramid falls apart. Why? Because Rava wants to prove that if we can accept the avoda of a Kohen Onen, I'm sorry, of a Kohen Gadol Onen, it must be because he's got the mitzvah of Rego all year round. Oh, and if that's the case, then if we learn from the word Sarua that a Kohen Gadol is excluded from the Avoda Fiza Mitzora, it means that Regel cannot trump the Din Avelis of Mitzora.
I think picking up what the Rav said earlier, in some cases a mitzvah aseh can nullify mitzvah lotase in some cases.
Right.
So we're seeing apparently the mitzvah of the aseh and what you're doing for kochim can override certain lotase. Whereas the mitzvah of smachta b'chagecha, which is noseh, does not necessarily, in many cases, does not nullify the mitzvah lo taseh of being an onen.
So again, Rav Katz is saying the following: if you're going to look at onen and his avoda as a lo taseh, then l'chora, what's the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot? They both have the same losas. It's not like the Kohen Gadol is less obligated in Dini Aninus and Isuri Aninus than a Kohen Hedjot.
Because he's more obligated in Mitzvah Aseh and Kochi, because he's a Kohen Gadol. He's always the first choice.
So right now, again, if we go, maybe we'll come to Yosfar, but right now he's not willing to accept that. He thinks if the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedjot, both from the perspective of Dini Aninus, are equal, they share an equal, identical responsibility of Aninus, of Dine Niyug Aninus. And from the perspective of Avoda, and the mitzvah of Avoda, they both share the same mitzvah. He thinks, the Rosh Shiva, that if we're going to allow the Onen, who's a Kohen Gadol, to do the Avoda by Aninus, it's because the whole prohibition of an onen is not a losas at all. It's a din in kodshim. It's a din in the migdash. So if it's a din in the migdash, the migdash could lower its tolerance level when it comes to a Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah becomes very intolerant of an onen when he's a Kohen Hedjot, but much more tolerant of an onen if that onen happens to be a Kohen Gadol. Let me just show you that inside, so you see I'm not inventing this. He's saying the following. Do you see a sentence that starts for ha'iser ha'krova, and then it says l'koin hejot? Do you see such a paragraph? Oh, baninus who we did a kachin, and that's good, because that again that reflects everything we've said until now in the original paragraph that started dehine. V'lomil chasaninus. We're not talking about the iser losa sevaninus here. You'll tell me a Kohen Gadol, how are we allowing him to be makriv? The answer is lo nemar bo din zeh. Now, is this din that In Kodshim, Aninus is antithetical. We can't, Kodshim can't tolerate Aninus. That din does not apply to the Kohen Gadol. We're going to lower our tolerance level for the sake of an Onen who's the Kohen Gadol. Ein zeh mipnei shehutru lo dini aninus. It's not that he has more of a, you know, the tug of war here between Iser aninus and Niyug aninus on the one hand, and the mitzvah of avoda on the other hand. That he has a different balance. The balance is different. But rather, it's because the whole problem of hakrava in an onen is not midini aninus at all. If it was midini aninus, there's no reason to hair's breadth of difference between the Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot. Neither on the Los Asseh side or on the Esseh side. That's what he seems to be assuming. Elamil Kus Kachim. But if, on the other hand, it's a Dini Kachim, is then Kachim lowers its standards, or it loosens the belt on its restrictions when it comes to the Kohen Gadol. V'lo nemar iser zeh, the iser for an onen to do the avoda was never formulated with regard to a Kohen Gadol, because as I said before, the Mikdash needs the Kohen Gadol. Are you satisfied that's what he's saying? Before we rip it apart one way or the other, but just, am I being loyal to the text?
It's like what the starting point is.
Correct, and he's saying that the starting point is Kachim, and therefore it may be very possible that Kachim can't tolerate an onen if he's a Kohen Hedjot, but it could allow a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodas Kachim even if he's an onen. So whereas a Kohen Hedjot an onen is excluded from the Mikdash, that's a Mikdash halacha, and a Mizbeach halacha, but a Kohen Gadol is not excluded. That's what he's saying now. And I think he's about to change his mind. That's what I think. I would have pressed the return button here. So that's how I want to see if I can justify A, why he rejects this, and B, that the text actually supports that he rejects this. So you give me 5 more minutes, I'm hoping I'll get to my, you know, to my goal here, he says. Oh. Now, in order to appreciate the next part, which I call a paragraph unto itself, that starts ulechora. Do you have that? So if you keep your finger on the word ulechora, which again should be a new paragraph in my humble opinion, don't lose that place. Will you promise me you'll keep your finger on that place?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I want you to go back a few lines up and see if you can find, without losing the place on ulechora, okay, can you go back and find the words imkein heich muchach? Okay? He says, "Imkain heich muchach mehad the kohen gadol makriv baninus to kol hashana kareyalu etzlo." If everything we said is true, that kodshim, the mikdash, could tolerate the kohen gadol in an aninus, and it drops the ball on that iser aninus in terms of the mikdash, then heich muchach. He says, "How could Rava prove a thing from the fact that a Kohen Gadol is makriv baninus? That doesn't prove that he has a mitzvah saseh of simcha, that he's considered beregel the whole year round." Again, let's keep in mind that Rav's goal is to say the following, that if a Kohen Gadol is mutter baninus in hakrova, and yet aser b'metzora, b'tzoras, b'ono, as we saw from the derivation from tzorua, fil Kohen Gadol, that it must be that a Kohen Hedjot who's an onen, who's an avel the whole year round, I'm sorry, on Yontif, I keep making that mistake, on Yontif would be enjoined from doing the avoda because Kohen Gadol is kareger the whole year. Who says, how did Rava know and how did he prove that Kohen Gadol has the din of a regel? If he has the din of a regel, then we could say that if a Kohen Gadol, despite the status of the house, the regel is also b'mitzora, then a mitzora the whole year round and a Kohen Hedjot made the same mistake again, a mitzora on Yontif would also be enjoined from the avoda despite the simcha, because his avelus still remains avelus. And how do I prove this? Because the Kohen Gadol is a mitzora and his status is regular the whole year round, he's enjoined from doing the avoda. So basically Rav has the following responsibility, so to speak. This is the yoke on his shoulders. He's got to prove that a Kohen Gadol has the status of regel. Then he can extrapolate from the fact that a mitzora is excluded, even though he's a Kohen Gadol. It must be that a mitzora, even on the regel, a Kohen Hedjot is excluded. Now we get to Ulechora. Mm-hmm. Because again, the key words that you wanted underlined that I sent you back to was Hechi Muchach. What was the language there? Hech Muchach. Okay, so now we're going to flesh out those Hech Muchach. Hech Muchach means Rava Lechora has nothing to prove over here. He says Lechora Mavur Hasam from the Sugyan Moikotin, the Iser Ha'avoda Be'aninus whom he hilches niuganinus. Not the way we've been saying it, that what? That it's a din in kodshim. Ulekach, and now if you grant me that assumption, then mochachinon, then we have an answer to our original question, heich muchach, to be the huta lekoin gadol lavod ba'aninus, mashma to call a shonik a regaletzlo. Meaning both the kohen hejot and the kohen gadol have the iser aninus of avoda, and that's one of the laws of aninus. Now, so how could we allow the kohen gadol to violate that iser and do the avoda even when he's an onen? The answer is because he has a mitzvah that the kohen hejot doesn't have. And what is that mitzvah? Let's see if you can get this right. See, now I'm gonna. This is gonna be the Evan Bochan to see if you followed me, Ben. Again, if we're saying that the iser of avoda of an onen is midine iser aninus, and yet we're gonna permit the violation of that iser in the case of a kohen gadol, what is that? What does the kohen gadol have that allows that? What do I add to tip the scale in the permissive side in the case of a kohen gadol?
I mean, my intuition, I think I'm wrong, is to say the Shalosh Regel year-round.
You got it right, because he's got a Regel. See, I thought you were going to say what you said before, because his mitzvah avoda is superior, is greater than the mitzvah avoda of a kohen hejot. That would be the wrong answer. Okay. Because Rava wants to prove the fact that we're allowing the kohen gadol to do his avoda b'aninus, it must be that he has a separate mitzvah, on top of the mitzvah of avoda. And what's that mitzvah on top of avoda? Correct. He has like a v'samachta b'chagecha. You can't take that literally, but a quasi v'samachta b'chagecha, the gansiyar freilich. The eino noe ganinus, and therefore there's no aninus for a kohen gadol. Well, by the way, at this point I would put an asterisk and write a footnote. That means that the kohen gadol would be allowed to drink wine and eat meat. Why? Because he has a mitzvah of simcha, and the mitzvah of simcha trumps the iser aninus. Haraya, he could do the avoda.
I mean, that's just like lo aleinu. But when a person, let's say, that they hear the news of a relative passing, chalila v'chas, and the next day is the yom tov
is the mevatel shiva.
Yes,
that's the kind of thing here. That yom tov of a kohen gadol, which is gan tzior, is mevatel aninus. So maybe what I said to you is wrong, because I said that according to his logic, the kohen gadol should be allowed, even though he's an oni, should be allowed to drink wine. That's not really right, because he's not allowed to do the avoda if he's a mitzora. Mm-hmm. But maybe because mitzora has a more chomer dika iser avelus. In other words, even though the iser avelus in its external manifestation is identical to both an Avel and a Mitzorah, but they're fundamentally different. Could be the Mitzorah is Avelus is Doraisa, I don't know. Whereas Avelus for anyone else is only Durabonin. But be that as it may, the Chumas Avera of violating Avelus in the case of a Mitzorah is such that it prevents him, it prevents the Kohen Gadol from doing the avoda, and it's the kohen gadol remains enjoined from doing the avoda as a mitzora, even though as an onen he would be allowed, because maybe the iser mitzora is more chomer than the iser onen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where achilas basar shtiyas yayin fits into the picture. Is that like mitzora or is that like onen? You know, so I don't know how to evaluate that.
Should we restrict it to the eating of meat, because wine is a separate problem? The kohen can't be inebriated when he's doing the avoda.
Right, but let's say he's not doing the avoda, or he drinks less than a revius. I don't know. The afal piche noagim bo dini mitzora muchach the mitzora noig tzaraso beregel. So again, the presentation pedagogically doesn't get an A plus. This is not the Rosh Yeshiva, by the way. He never even, if you notice, this is Chelek Aleph, right? Look for a letter. Every time there's a Talmud writes and publishes a book based on his Rebbe's Torah, you'll always find what at the beginning of the book?
Haskama from the Rebbe.
For example, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zichrono Livracha, I don't know if you knew him. You never heard of him?
Yeah.
So he never published much in his lifetime, but a lot of his Talmudim published. You'll always see a letter. If you don't see a letter, suspect that the Rosh Yeshiva didn't want to give a letter. I learned by Rav Moshe. He was my Rosh Yeshiva 2 years. And here, Pili Playa, 3 volumes, no letter. Let me see, I have the second volume here.
Something says the Mishpacha, it says from Rav Alexander or something, but he doesn't.
Yeah, but why not a letter? I'm telling you, this is standard procedure. It's a photocopy of his, of the I don't know what word to use, the author, not, the Rebbe's, you know, manuscript. It's standard procedure. I'll show it to you.
Does that mean that he personally didn't agree with the text? Or?
I think what it is, again, this I'm on tape here, so it's a little bit, you know, I have to watch my words, but I think it's a briska chumra over here. You know, my Rebbe also was very allergic to publishing. And you could probably fill up this whole library of books by Rav Soloveitchik and you probably find one or two that he wrote out of this whole library. And I know of only one or two cases where a Talmud wrote up Rav Soloveitchik's Torah and he himself had a Haskama. And that's 2 volumes that were published by what's called Machon Moriah, Machon Yerushalayim. And there he, because it was his own son-in-law, Dr. Chorsky Elbashalom, who published those 2 volumes. So there he wrote a letter with his own signature. But other than that, again, in the case of Rav Braunschweigel Shlita, I mean, Rav Soloveitchik wrote a letter, handwritten, but Rav Braunschweigel is not claiming that he's presenting the Rav's Torah. He quotes the Rav here and there, but the book is his own chidush. But if somebody were to write a book of the Rav's Chidushim and ask the Rav for Haskama, very unlikely. I think Pinchas Peli, and it's a magical achievement, mamish, supernatural achievement, he got Haskama from Rav Soloveitchik when he published Ala Tshuva.
I was going to say.
That's mamish, Shalom B'derech HaTev. Shalom B'derech HaTev. And there are many Sfarim that I absolutely adore. I'm not going to mention any here, but based on the Rav's Torah, and I'm sure the Rav would not have given Haskama, even though they're excellent Sfarim. But that's a briska craziness.
Almost. No, not because they're not accurate.
That, because when it comes to brisk, no one could say it over exactly the way the Rosh Yeshiva said it. No one. I mean, they say about Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Kamenetz, and he was the Talmud of Reb Chaim Brisker. They say about him that he would try and imitate everything that Reb. They say that he would pick up his pants when he said it, the Shia to something, exactly where the Shia Reb Chaim picked up his pants. And there are many stories about Reb Baruch Ber, how he tried to imitate to Reb Chaim, consciously or subconsciously. Probably it's more subconscious. And yet, I doubt, again, I'm going on record here, but I hope somebody out there is listening to me and you tell me I'm full of baloney, but I doubt if Reb Chaim would have written Haskama for Reb Baruch Ber, if Reb Baruch Ber would have taken on the goal, or the, how do you say it in English, misima,
the task, or the enterprise,
to present in writing Reb Chaim's Torah. Because Reb Chaim would say that no matter how excellent you are, you're not going to say it the way I said it. It's a craziness, but it's like an obsession. No one could say it exactly the way I said it. That's how the Soloveitchiks work. Now, he, Rav Katz, is not a Soloveitchik. But I think because he learned so many years in Brisk, something rubbed off on him. And I have a suspicion, I'm going to try to clarify this, that he probably refused to write a letter of approbation, because otherwise, why isn't it here? So getting back to our paragraph, because I got off on a tangent a little bit, in pedagogy here, felt epis, we say in Yiddish. It's missing a drop. It should have been presented in a way that would clearly indicate that the Rashiv is going through two mutually exclusive patterns of thinking here. Two different mahalchim, you know, an analysis.
He changed his mind, basically.
Well, I wouldn't say he changed his mind. That's where the pedagogy comes in here. Mm-hmm. It's not that the Rosh Yeshiva changed his mind. What the Rosh Yeshiva was saying is that, well, let's understand it based on the definition that we've been operating with until this point. Mm-hmm. Namely, that the Iser of Kohen Onen in Avoda is Kodshim. It's not in Dini Aninus. And then, again, pedagogically, he should have said, wait, stop. What are we going to do with the sugya in Moed Katan? Rava's proof completely falls off. Because, again, Rava wants the proof from the fact that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodin Onen, that the status of a Kohen Gadol is that of Keregel, and the mitzvah of Regel now overrides the Iser Aninus. How can you say such a thing? Maybe the reason why a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Aninus is because, as we said until now, and that was our premise, our definition, that the Iser of an Onen and a Kohen is a Kodshim Iser. And if it's a Kodshim Iser, the Torah lowered its standards and overrode the Iser of Onen with regard to a Kohen Gadol. And the Iser of Onen, in terms of Kachim and Migdash, was never formulated if the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah, period. That doesn't prove that he has a new mitzvah of Regel. It's just that the whole Iser never applied. Oh, now we have to after the Churban, you have to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash here. So how do we rebuild Rava? It makes sense out of Rava. The answer is that Rava understood that the Iser of Aninus in Avoda is an Aninus Iser. And it has to do with Dine Niyug Aninus, or as you called it, Ben Olosasa. So why for the Kohen Gadol are we going to push away, are we going to override this Losa? So what trumps the Losa? The answer is that he has another mitzvah. And what's the other mitzvah that applies to the Kohen Gadol? Regel. Ah, now Rava makes 100% sense. If he has another mitzvah of Regel, and yet we find the following paradox. We're going to allow the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah Aninus. Why? Because his status and Regel is going to override the Iser Aninus. But with regard to Mitzorah, we're not going to override it. And the answer is that despite the fact that the Kohen Gadol has the status of Regel, with that Chiyuv of Regel, which overrides the Iser Aninus, it's not going to override the Iser Mitzorah, because the Iser Mitzorah is more Chamor. And if that be the case, then if the Iser Mitzorah is more Chamor than in the case of a Kohen Hedjot, who's a Mitzorah and he wants to do the Avodah, we're going to have to exclude him even on a Regel, because even if you add to the equation the great Mitzvah of Samachta B'Chagecha, that's not enough, not powerful enough to override the Iser of Mitzorah. And I'll prove it to you, says Rava, from the fact that a Kohen Gadol, despite the fact that he has the mitzvah of Regel all year round, nevertheless, if he's a Mitzorah, the Gemara derives from a pasuk that he's enjoined from doing the Avodah. You see how Chamor Mitzorah is. That it can't be permeated or detonated. What do you say?
Knocked out.
It can't be knocked out by what? By the mitzvah of Simcha. If it can't be knocked out by the mitzvah of Simcha in the case of Kohen Gadol, then it can't be knocked out by the mitzvah of Simcha and Regel vis-a-vis a Kohen Hedjot. If he's a Mitzorah he remains until he's retired himself, and then we'll invite him into the Beis HaMikdash. Alright, we'll stop here.
Do you
see what Rabosai, it took me an hour just to say over this one paragraph. And now here's a book that has how many pages to it? You know, you begin to see how the Misimaya, the enterprise is gigantic. You know, that's what Kachim is. Right. But I think we made some progress.
All right, thank you.